Elizabeth Zott isn't your typical 1950s woman. While most are expected to find fulfillment in shirtwaist dresses and domestic duties, Elizabeth is busy conducting groundbreaking chemistry research. When she boldly enters Calvin Evans' lab at the Hastings Research Institute to borrow equipment, their first meeting is electric, and not in a romantic way. He dismisses her as a secretary. Her eyes narrow dangerously. This brilliant woman with a master's degree in chemistry has already faced devastating setbacks. At UCLA, her doctoral advisor, Dr. Myers, sexually assaulted her after she found a flaw in his research. When she defended herself, the university sided with the prominent professor, forcing her to start over at Hastings. Calvin, meanwhile, is a scientific prodigy with his own demons, orphaned at 5, raised in a Catholic boys' home, and carrying deep emotional wounds. Their paths cross again at a performance of the Mikado, where Calvin, violently ill, vomits on Elizabeth's dress. Rather than recoiling, she compassionately helps him home. This moment of vulnerability creates an opening for genuine connection between two brilliant, damaged souls who recognize in each other something rare, intellectual equals who understand what it means to be fundamentally alone in the world. What makes Elizabeth's story so compelling isn't just her brilliance, but her refusal to diminish herself in a world determined to put her in her place. When her boss calls her research aspirations overreaching, suggesting they exceed her intellectual grasp, she doesn't back down. Elizabeth Zott doesn't know how to be anything other than exactly who she is, even when it costs her everything. Elizabeth and Calvin share an unconventional relationship where passionate nights blend with scientific discussions, sometimes interrupting sleep to record ideas. Their creativity flourishes in each other's presence. When Calvin proposes, Elizabeth declines, fearing her work would be attributed to Mrs. Calvin Evans, despite his promise she could keep her name. They adopt 630, a bomb-sniffing dog who failed training due to his fear of explosions. This intelligent canine learns hundreds of words and forms a special bond with Elizabeth, each recognizing the other's trauma. Their unconventional family unit thrives until tragedy strikes. After Elizabeth buys 630 a leash, Calvin takes him running. Near the police station, backfires startle them both. Pulling in opposite directions, Calvin slips in motor oil and falls. A police car runs him over, killing him while 630 watches helplessly. In the aftermath, Elizabeth discovers her pregnancy. Hastings promptly fires her for her disgraceful condition. 5 weeks later, she gives birth to a daughter. When asked how she feels during labor, Elizabeth answers "mad," which the nurse mistakenly records as the baby's name. Though later called Madeline, the legal name remains "mad," perhaps fitting for a child born into a world resistant to female brilliance and autonomy. 4 years after Calvin's death, Elizabeth faces financial ruin. Returning to Hastings, she discovers her former boss published her research under his name. After confronting him and quitting, she reluctantly accepts hosting Separate Six, despite insisting she's a scientist, not an entertainer. On her first broadcast, Elizabeth expresses disgust at the domestic kitchen set, with its religious needlepoint and kitschy decorations. When cameras roll, she ignores the cue cards, addressing viewers directly. It is my experience that far too many people do not appreciate the work and sacrifice that goes into being a wife, a mother, a woman. At the end of our 30 minutes together, we will have done something worth doing. Elizabeth transforms cooking into chemistry, explaining molecular structures while preparing meals. She opens one show by comparing chemical bonds to human relationships. Her scientific approach captivates audiences nationwide. She uses her platform to address social issues, noting humans share 99.9% of their genetic makeup regardless of skin color, and supporting the civil rights movement. When an audience member reveals her dream of becoming a heart surgeon, Elizabeth encourages her that it's never too late, ending by commanding the woman's watching sons to set the table because your mother needs a moment to herself. Not everyone appreciates Elizabeth's influence. Protesters calling her a godless heathen gather outside the studio after she reveals she's an atheist on air. The station manager, Phil Lebensmull, pressures her to be more entertaining and less educational. When Elizabeth refuses to compromise, he fires her. When Phil exposes himself to intimidate her, Elizabeth calmly produces a chef's knife, causing him to faint. While waiting for the ambulance, she discovers folders showing the show is already syndicated in New York with numerous sponsorship offers, contradicting Phil's claims about poor performance. "We're not fired," she tells Walter Kine, the producer. "We're in charge." Following Elizabeth's advice to do what's right, Walter becomes acting executive producer, syndicating the show nationwide. Despite the show's growing success, Elizabeth remains unfulfilled, confessing, "I think about death a lot." She misses the laboratory and scientific discovery that defined her before Calvin's death. Meanwhile, young Madeline searches for answers about her father through Reverend Wakely, who had corresponded with Calvin. The mystery deepens when Elizabeth meets representatives from the Parker Foundation, now owners of Hastings Research Institute. Avery Parker reveals herself as Calvin's biological mother. A 17-year-old told her baby was stillborn, only to discover years later he'd been adopted. On her final cooking show, Elizabeth shocks viewers by announcing her immediate departure from supper at 6. Writing "Chemistry is Change" on her easel, she delivers a passionate call to action. No more holding yourself back. No more subscribing to others' opinions of what you can achieve. Do not allow your talents to lie dormant. Design your own future. Despite expectations of job offers, Elizabeth's research applications are ignored. The scientific community continues to doubt her credentials, influenced by her former professor's dismissive quotes in Life magazine. Elizabeth discovers fame's fleeting nature. The only Elizabeth Zott anyone remembers is the one who wore an apron. With the Parker Foundation's support, Elizabeth finally returns to scientific research. She opens a notebook to begin abiogenesis work, coming full circle to the research stolen from her years before. Her journey shows how personal integrity can catalyze wider social change. By being herself, brilliant, uncompromising, and authentic, she inspires others to question artificial limitations. Elizabeth's story demonstrates that the most powerful formula for change begins with refusing to be anything less than who we truly are. She never learned to smile insincerely, diminish her intelligence for men's comfort, or accept others' limitations. When the world tried to confine her to the kitchen, she transformed it into a laboratory and taught chemistry to millions of women. What makes Elizabeth revolutionary isn't just her brilliance, but her unwavering belief that she deserves to be taken seriously. Her legacy lives in her scientific contributions and in the women she inspired to pursue their dreams, take up space unapologetically, and recognize their intellectual equality. Sometimes the most radical act is simply being yourself when the world wants you to be something else. The true chemistry lesson Elizabeth Zott teaches us all.